The title of the message today is
"The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And that passage comes from Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And I actually tried to take a picture of this little frame that I actually made. I know you don't believe that. I didn't make this part back here. I didn't make this. But I made the front part and the middle part. I made it at MOPS a couple of years ago. And there were lots of scriptures you could choose from and lots of borders. And so I chose a green border because our bedroom is green. And I wanted this scripture for Pastor. And this picture sits on Pastor's dresser. He sees it every single day, sometimes many times a day. Now, you have to know I'm not really a crafty person, but we had a great craft person that year, and she laid everything out and just made it really easy. And I thought, I don't think that looks too bad. I mean, if I had done this by myself, it would probably be crooked and the stuff wouldn't have stuck on there. But you know what? Part of the reason that I gave it to him was because I believe God wants him to know each and every day that he is with him and he is a mighty warrior. And I say that to you because sometimes even mighty warriors need to be reminded that they are mighty warriors. I don't even know why I'm going here, because I live with a mighty warrior. And he'd say, "What in the world are you crying for?" I guess because for me, it was a thing that I felt like God wanted me to do. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to speak to us today about this word. And so I take the scripture from Judges 6:12, and I want us to read that. It says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Some translations say, "Mighty man of valor." Some say, "Mighty hero." And the angel of the Lord spoke those words to Gideon. The angel of the Lord spoke those words to Gideon when Gideon was not a mighty warrior. Okay? This is where we're going to have a message within a message. Okay? Kind of like a wheel in a wheel, you know. But Pastor and I have been so deeply burdened for our nation. And we have been praying constantly. We pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem all the time also. But we have been praying constantly for the peace of this nation. And I am compelled to ask you, as a body of believers at Shiloh, to commit to focus prayer between now and the inauguration and after. There is a depth of division and hatred in this nation that we don't recall ever, ever, ever having seen in our lifetime. And if the church doesn't do something about it, the enemy is just going to run rampant and accomplish what he intends to accomplish. Some prophetic voices are announcing judgment for our nation. Others are saying revival. Some are rejoicing that we have a new president that's going to give us a new beginning, while others are deeply afraid of what's going to happen with our new president. We are the church of the living God, and we cannot and we must not cover our heads in the sand, do like so many of us do, and I do it too. When the world is mean around me, I go to bed and cover up with a blanket and expect that it's all going to be okay when I get up the next day. We can't do that, church. We have got to pray. Everything is not going to be well if we don't pray. It's faulty and dangerous thinking that we can just act like business as usual and pretend like January 20th, it's just any other day. It is not any other day. It is not just any other day. I loved, you all know I love my office staff. I love what Angelique put on the church sign this week. If you didn't see it coming in, make sure you look at it going out. A strong church, a strong nation. And that is so true. I believe that we as a church must repent for the sins of our land. I believe we must stand and pray for truth, peace, and righteousness to prevail from sea to shining sea and everything above and beneath and around. We have got to pray. It doesn't matter to me if you go online and find some prayers to pray. It doesn't matter to me if you, how you pray, but I'm asking you, Pastor and I, from the depths of our heart, would you join us in praying for our country? We must pray for Jesus, Jehovah Shalom, who is God, our peace, to show himself to be strong and mighty. You know, a book was written several years ago called AWOL Christians. Those of you that aren't in the military might not know what AWOL stands for. You probably know it's something bad, and yes, it is bad. And it's absent without leave. Is that correct? Okay. I wanted it to be away without leave, but absent without leave is okay. But, you know, it talked, that book talked about what happened right after 9/11, that our churches filled up for several weeks. You couldn't find, it was standing room only in churches. And there was a huge cadre of volunteer soldiers who signed up just because of 9/11, wanting to protect our land. But somewhere, when nothing bad happened, people stopped coming to church. And a lot of those soldiers went AWOL. And this book was written to say that it looks like the church is about to go AWOL again. Now, I don't want to believe that, but I want you to know that churches all over are looking at empty seats just like we are. And when you're speaking, you're never supposed to point out a negative, but I believe it is important for us to know the church of the living God cannot go AWOL. If we do, we will lose this nation. This is the message in the message, okay? It's not the message, it's the message in the message. Back to the need for prayer. Actually, the whole message on AWOL Christians, that's a message all of its own for another time. And I don't know if I get to preach or not. God might say, you'll be too hard on the people. I'm not letting you preach that message. So maybe it'll be somebody that's a little more gentle than I am. But back to the need for prayer throughout the inauguration and after. Can't just stop January 20th. As Pastor and I have sought the Lord about this, and I must say that it is constantly on his heart. We've sought the Lord about what does this whole atmosphere mean for the church? And we recognize that darkness is coming upon our land. And Miss Alma, I loved your word today. Girl, I didn't know if you were going to talk about Martin Luther King, or you going to talk about sanctity of life, or you going to talk. I didn't know what you were going to talk about, but the Lord gave you a word for us today, and I appreciate it so much, and I just want to honor God for you being obedient to Him. The darkness in this earth is exploding. God help us. Would you just say, God help us? I mean, say it like a prayer. God help us. We need His help, folks. We have got to have God's help. In the case of this age, in the culture of this age, darkness is exploding. It is becoming oppressive, and it is becoming more and more demonic. I Googled just a couple of little words that I'm not even going to tell you what they are, but there's nothing bad about them at all. Nothing to take you down into the depths of darkness. And what pops up are skeleton faces and blood. And I thought, how can this be? How can this be that something that for me was innocent, I just wanted to know a little bit more about these words. How could it be that darkness has pervaded? I feel like my computer should only, it should only have what I like and what I want. That's just what I think. I think because I don't look at bad stuff, that my computer should never, ever, ever. But it kind of, and it actually startled me. And I know Pastor had told me once, whenever that stuff comes up, you just get rid of it right away. Don't open it. Don't look. Don't anything. But I just want you to know that it is pervasive out there, even if you're not looking for it. One of the things Pastor and I have talked about a lot is, if darkness is coming, what's going to happen to believers? What's going to happen to us if this is going to be a time of darkness and a time of judgment? And I don't know how many of you all get Charisma Magazine, but Stephen Strang has an op-ed in Charisma Magazine, and I'll just give you a little bit of what he says. He says, those who are spiritually discerning see that our nation and culture are in a downward spiral. America has declined because the church fell asleep. We are not being salt and light to this culture. We are even losing our own families to the pressure of secularization, liberalism, and worldliness. The nation will not be saved by a man or a new government. Listen to me. This nation will not be saved by a man or by a new government. It will not. Change will only come as the church wakes up and we see the kingdom of God coming to the earth. Yeah! Yes! As the kingdom of God comes to the earth and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. So, the church waking up must start with the church. It's got to start with us. We would rather say, Lord, why don't you start it down the street and let us see how those people deal with it. We just want to see, how does it split their church apart? Or, you know, when revival comes, let us see it somewhere else. And we'll see if we want it. And if it's not going to be too hard on us. No, that is not what we're praying. If you want to pray that way, but we are not in agreement, I'll just tell you that. We want it to start here. We want it to start here. And we are praying that it will start here.
I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you wanted to start here, but I would ask you, would you join us in praying that God, would you let your kingdom explode in Shiloh and in the other churches in Sierra Vista and in our county and in our state and in our land. God, if you want to start it with us, come on. We are ready. We are not afraid, and we will do whatever thus saith the Lord. So people need to see and feel God's love through us. In this month's charisma, Mike Bickle, who's the founder of IHOP, and no, that's not on Highway 92 where you go after church. It's not International House of Pancakes. Although I love International House of Pancakes, I don't get to eat there very often because it does really bad things to me. But it's International House of Prayer. And Miss Alma and her girls just came back from their New Year's meeting. I can't remember the name of the meeting. But maybe that's where you got that good word, girl. Woohoo! But anyway, in the new Charisma magazine, Mike Bickle wrote a great and timely article called God's Answer to the Coming Crisis. It would take this whole message to read his whole article, but I just want to give you just a portion of what he's talking about. He gives an excellent teaching on how our prayers can affect a sovereign God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you can have really lively discussions with people on the sovereignty of God and what that means. And like, if he's sovereign and we pray, it's not going to make any difference because he's going to do what he wants to do. Well, I can't have that conversation with you right now because it would take too long, and I would need my husband next to me because it is a deeply theological issue. But all I know is that you can see in the Word that when God's people pray, it makes a difference. I don't know what that does with the theology of a sovereign God, and I believe in a sovereign God, but our prayers can affect a sovereign God. Do you notice how many scriptures there are that say, if you do this, then God will do this? Yes! Come on, church. If we pray, then God will hear our prayers and he'll forgive our sin and he'll heal our land. If and then. That means that prayer changes things. And by the way, this is still the message in the message, okay? This is not the message. So one of the things that Mike Bickle says, he talks about the importance of our personal relationship with God being the most important thing that we can do. And how many times has our pastor said, in facing the end times, facing whatever we are facing, what has he said to us? You must love Jesus more than you love anything in this world. And you must serve and honor him with your life. Well, Mike says that, he says that also. But he goes on to say that if the church will pray, we can affect God's judgment. Now, this is what I was speaking about when I mentioned a few sentences back. The pastor and I have talked about and wondered, what's going to happen to the church if this indeed is a time of judgment and we are getting ready to go into some really, really dark times. What is that going to mean for believers? Well, Mike Bickle says that we can actually pray that we will be hidden or protected in the midst of a time when God releases judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the idea of being hidden and protect it. You know, we pray Psalm 91. We've prayed it through the years over soldiers, and now we pray it over our law enforcement. We pray it over our family.
It's a wonderful passage of scripture that talks about God hiding us in the shadow of his wings. And I just want to read some of that to you. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. There's like 12 more verses after this, and I won't take the time to read all of that. But I believe it is important for us to know that in the Word, that if we pray the Word, we can have protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I just want to say that's a pretty big shadow. And there's room for all of us. There's room for everybody here. And anybody that prays this prayer, there's room for you to be protected under the in the secret place of the Most High. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. He shall be your shield and your buckler. Read it. Pray it. It's good, and it will be a source of protection for you. As believers, Mike Bickle says, we know there is no greater protection than to be hidden in the Lord. And he calls them pockets of mercy, where we'll be hidden under the shadow of the Lord's hand. I just love that visual. Like our youth group has these giant plastic balls. They wanted me to get in one once, but I wouldn't. And they get in those things, and they roll around, they bump each other, and but you can't get in there to, like, hit on them or something. I think of a bubble like that. God, you got any of those extra bubbles? That's what I want. When the judgment comes, put me in one of those nice little bubbles, and then hide me somewhere. So all this bad stuff can just go by. Now, I don't know that it's going to be like that. And I'm getting ready to read you a scripture that I must say I didn't want to read. And I also, I'm wondering, well, Mike Bickle, why would you even put this scripture in there? Now, when I read it, you're going to understand exactly why. But it is the whole counsel of God. If we skip this verse, it's like people that skip over healing and speaking in tongues, those weird things that some churches do. I'm sorry, if you're new, that would be us, but we do all things in decency and order. But anyway, so you realize that you have to read the whole counsel of God. You cannot just read what you like. There are passages of scripture that I love, and I will read them over and over and over again and just let God bring sweet comfort and sweet peace to my soul. But sometimes he needs me to read the stuff that doesn't feel so good, and that means I need to move up a little bit. I need to change something. I need to fix my attitude. I need to, I don't know, all those things that you deal with, me too. So we would all rather read the things that make us feel good, right? Does anybody really love reading the things that say, that make lots of requirements on you? Well, anyway, I'm going to read the scripture, and that you are going to see exactly why I said, Mike Bickle, you could have chosen a whole bunch more scriptures that would have just gone down real easy. Just, oh, that's so, I love that scripture. But this is what he says, Zephaniah 2:3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Now, this is the part that I wish it said something different, but it doesn't. It says, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now we all notice the scripture says, it may be that you will be hidden. Now I was just going to bring you guys the translation that fixed that. I was sure I could find something that said, and you will be. I mean, I thought you know how many translations there are? A gazillion. I went through Bible Gateway looking at all of them, and all of them said essentially the same thing. I was trying to find one that would give me an absolute assurance that we would be hidden. You know, I wanted something that would say, like, put blood on the doorposts of your house. And when the death angel comes, he'll just pass right over. That's what I wanted. Tell me to do this, I'll do it. And then I will for sure be hidden. But you know what? God needs us to understand that, I mean, I'm not really sure why Mike Bickle used that scripture. I'm sure that's what the Lord gave him. And so I'm giving it to you, just like it says. I want a guarantee that there will be a Goshen for believers. But we can't say that. When the shaking comes, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So what do we have to do? We have to plant our feet so we won't be shaken. But anyway, if God chooses not to hide us, listen to me. If God chooses not to hide us, we can be assured that he will take care of us no matter what, and that he has divine purpose in whatever reason he had this scripture to be written. It may be that you will be hidden. I want to trust God like that. I want to trust him that when I read the scriptures that don't feel real good to my heart, that I can still trust him with my life. Can you still trust him with your life? It may be that you'll be hidden. Well, I want to give you just a few scriptures to kind of soften that a little bit, okay? And I love that Jeremiah 29:11 has come up 3, maybe 4 times. You, in the video, somebody else, a song. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. There are other great scriptures that talk about God providing safety for us. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are safe. So if I'm not hidden, I'm going to run into the name of the Lord and be safe. Do you believe it'll work like that? I do, because both of them are the word of the Lord, and they're all true. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. We used to sing that song, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. Love that. You will preserve me from trouble. I remind God of that every day. God, you said you would preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. God singing songs about your deliverance. Listen, there is nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Well, I learned this little thing. And actually, when I got the bad stuff on my computer, I had put in different words in. And then I changed the words and put these words, another set of words in. And because, how many of us have used mosquito repellent? Yeah. Okay. And what do? You spray it all over you. You just spray it all over you. In Hebrew, Pastor is not here. You know, I miss my man. He usually is telling me, you're talking too loud, you're talking too fast. Stretch it out, shorten it, bunny trail, get off the bunny trail. So I miss him today, but he hurt his back and he's doing well, and is moving a little better, but he didn't want to go to sleep on the message, so we thought he better stay home. I was going to have him help me with the Hebrew pronunciation. So I don't really know exactly how to say this, but the word is sather. And it literally means a hiding place, to cover, to hide covertly or secretly. In fact, in Psalm 32:7, it's translated as hiding place. Did you know that mosquito repellents don't actually repel at all? Like, we think we spray and they smell the spray and stay away from us. That's not how mosquito repellent works. The spray hides us from them. It blocks their sensors so they don't know where we are. Wouldn't you love to have some kind of something to spray on you to keep you hidden from the devil? Somebody out there is smart. Invent it. And we'll all buy it. And you'll get rich. You know, they just don't know where you are. The spray doesn't repel them. In much the same way, God can become our trouble repellent. He doesn't always dispel the trouble, but he can hide us from the trouble. Anybody want to be hidden? I want to be hidden. God, I want to be hidden. Please hide me. Amen. Used to sing a song, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. I want to be hidden like that. This is still the message in the message. I am going to get to the real message. Mike Bickle does say that God may have a greater plan for us in standing strong amid the increasing troubles of his judgment. We can certainly pray and ask God to provide a strong tower for us, or a pocket of mercy, or a hiding place. The key, though, is to cry out to the Lord that his hand of judgment will be stayed against America, that he may have great mercy on those that seek his face. And now back to the message. What's the title of the message? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Remember, this sits on Pastor Joseph's desk to remind him that God is with him and that he is a mighty warrior. Now, our scripture in Judges chapter 6, that's it. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." All of us know the story of Gideon. We all know him for his fleeces. We know that he eventually became a mighty warrior, and he started with 32,000 men. God got him down to 300 and said, "Go fight those thousands of Midianites with 300 men." And because God said it, because God said it, because God said it, he did it, and he became a mighty warrior. But before all of that, the children of Israel, man, they were tough learners, weren't they? Phew-wee. I feel like if you just give me a couple of little chances. But they had a gazillion chances. I don't know if they had that many. But they had lots of chances. And they just couldn't get it right. They just couldn't get it right. And so God turned them back over to live under the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. And in order for them to be safe, they had to hide in caves and mountains. And if they had trusted God, he would have helped them. Aha! Any message here for the United States of America? If you will trust God, God will help you. But we're going back to Gideon. Now, Gideon, before we knew him as a mighty warrior, he was a farmer without much vision for anything other than providing for his family. And he actually lived in fear as he provided for his family. And in order to thresh grain, or to separate the wheat from the chaff for food, which was normally done in a large area. And if you never heard Brother Laurent's message on the threshing floor, you need to go on Shiloh online and look up the threshing floor. Awesome message. But Gideon couldn't thresh his wheat out in the open because the Midianites would have gotten him. And so he had to hide. He had to take a wine press, a little wine press that was used for stomping grapes. He had to use that so that the Midianites would not see him and see that he was threshing wheat for his family. And so here he is hiding out, trying to take care of his family. And who found him? The angel of the Lord, because God had a plan for him. Let me read this reading to you. It's taken from Jonathan Kahn's Book of Mysteries, and this will close out the message. And while I'm reading this, I want you to think of yourself and where you are in God. It's called The Power of As. The little word as, A-S. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Now, the Book of Mysteries is a series of one-page vignettes, or we kind of use it as devotional, although sometimes I get really greedy and I read way ahead. Or I look up something that I think I'll be interested in. But and there's a teacher and a student involved, okay? So this is the way it starts. In the book of Ephesians, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." How would you understand and apply that? Asked the teacher. Well, beloved children would imitate their fathers. So since you are beloved children, imitate your heavenly father. Well, that's good, the teacher said. Be imitators of God as beloved children. You could take that to mean, since you are beloved children, imitate God. And that would be correct. But it doesn't exactly say that. It says as. The Greek word, pastor's not here. Pastor, if you're listening to this message, I did my best. Hoche, no, that's wrong. It's H-O-C-E. Any Greek scholars out there? Somebody want to try it? Just H-O-C-E. Can be translated the same way as or just like. So it could be translated as be imitators of God in the same way as or just like beloved children. Now you got to stay with me here because I'm telling you this is going to be good when we get to the end of it. But Jonathan Kahn, he's like deep. But if you can stick with him, man, it'll bless your socks off. Okay, here we go. How do you carry out that command? First, you have to have an idea of what beloved children are, how they act, how they react, how they live. Then you live as if you were one of them. So as you believe they would act,
So you act in that same way. As a child of God, you are not bound by what you've been or even by what you are now.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. In God, you have the power to live as you are not, or rather, as you are not yet, but to live as you are yet to be. I was shouting by the time I got to this. And towards that end, the word as is a very powerful thing. When the angel came to Gideon, he found a man living in fear. Yet he said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." A mighty man of valor was not who Gideon was, but who Gideon was to become. But the angel greeted him as if he was a mighty man of valor. Gideon now had to live by faith as if he was that mighty man of valor. And that's what he became. That is the secret of that little word, as. Come on. Do not be bound by what you are. Rather, live as if you were that which you are to become. Come on. Come on. Live like that which you are to become. God says, "You're a mighty warrior, and I need some mighty warriors to fight for this country." You say, "I don't feel like a mighty warrior. I just feel weak and afraid." And God says, the angel of the Lord says, "You become what I say you are." Yeah! You become what I say you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, I don't feel real righteous right now. But the blood of Jesus says you are righteous. So you be righteous. Sorry, Pastor, I'm getting loud. They're telling me I'm getting too loud. I'm trying, really trying here. Okay. Rather live as if you were already that which you are to become. Be as Gideon, the one whose life was changed when an angel greeted him. And do you know what the angel called him in Hebrew? He called him Gabor. Gabor literally means champion. Now imagine how a champion of God would live. A person of righteousness, purity, holiness, godliness, and power. No longer did Gideon have to be afraid. No longer did he have to hide. Imagine how a champion of faith would live, then live as that champion. Live as if you could do great and mighty things for God, even if it's far beyond anything you've known or have been or have ever done. Live by faith as if you could, as if that champion is you, as it was with Gideon. It will become so. Read the story of Gideon, this farmer that had to hide to feed his family, became a mighty champion, a mighty warrior. Live by faith as if you could, as if that champion was you. And as it was with Gideon, it will become so with you. It will become you in the power of as. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, live now not according to who you are,
But hallelujah, live according to who you are to be. Live this day in the power of as, a little two-letter word, as a victorious, mighty champion. Do you know that Gideon ended up in the Hebrews Hall of Faith? He did. He did. A little farmer man who was afraid. You know, as we have gone through the story of Gideon, I want to bring it down just a little closer to home. And I want to say to you, God doesn't want you bound by what you are right now. Some of us, life is a daily struggle. It's a struggle against a world that doesn't really love us or care about us. Sometimes it's a struggle for provision. Sometimes it's a struggle for finances. But God says, receive the word of the Lord today. And don't act like you're acting today, but act in what God says you are to become. Jesus knows who you are now, but you know what? He also knows who you're supposed to be. And I just have to say, as I look out over this congregation, I can see so many of you that I knew before. And now I know who you have become. And I know that God does miracles. Live as if you can do mighty things for God, and you will. Live by faith. Live as God wants you to live. I am calling you today a mighty warrior. That's what God said I was to call you, a mighty warrior. I said, oh, I want to call them some other things. He said, call them mighty warriors, because they need to become warriors to be a part of the salvation of this country. They must become mighty warriors. You are not bound by what you are now or what you've been. If we all were living like what we were to become, what we were to become, I see soul winners. I see leaders. I see teachers. I see servants. I see intercessors. I see helpers. Do you know a church needs helpers? We need people. I might not be able to tell you right now what I need you to do, but can I call you when I need something? Yes, Pastor. You call me anytime for anything. A church needs those kind of people. I just want to say, and this is not condemnation at all. This is a point of teaching. Say, point of teaching. Say it again. I need to see you believe it. This is a point of teaching. I am not getting after anybody, but I want you to know that when you are in a body, when you come on Sunday morning, we love that you come on Sunday morning, first of all, let me just say that. We're happy to see you. We're very glad to see you. But you coming and sitting here, Carolyn, you're about to get in trouble with your husband. Let me see if I'm going to get in trouble with God. No, God says I'm supposed to say this. Okay. It is wonderful that you come to worship God. We love that and we want you to do that. But you're coming on a Sunday morning. Here it comes. Is not serving God. You're going and sitting in a Bible study or a small group. That is not serving God. God says we are to be imitators of Christ. He loved and he served. He served us. We are to serve his body.
you for coming to church. We are so glad to see you. But let me tell you something. If everybody was being who God says you are, then we wouldn't have a short-staffed usher staff. We wouldn't have to beg for sound people. We wouldn't have to beg for children's workers. If everybody found their place of service, and everybody's supposed to be serving. Now you say, oh, I serve. You just don't know I serve. And that is the absolute truth. I don't know. Some of you might be givers that I don't know a thing about. And you're running around to all the people in Shiloh, giving them a Pentecostal handshake every Sunday, giving them $100 and $50. And I don't ever see you do that. This is all between you and God. This really is not between me and you at all, except for the fact that the Lord said that I was to tell you, you are to be who He wants you to become. And He wants you to be more than a seat warmer. He wants you to be a living being, part of this body of Christ, where you come to be fed. I'm going to tell you something. I remember years ago, when financially things were not as well as they are now. But you know what happened? The people got the vision of what God's word says about giving. And you all started giving. We finished last year and the year before, and I think the year before, but in the black. We don't carry credit card debt anymore. We pay it every month. Listen, that's because everybody caught the vision. Everybody said, I'm going to be who God says I'm going to be. And He says, I'm supposed to be a giver. Well, today, God says, you're to be a mighty warrior. Today, God says, you're to be a servant. Today, God says, don't be like you are right now. That's not good enough. Well, I know we don't have to do anything to prove our love for God. I recognize that. But I also know that faith without works is dead. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask us to stand. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And we're going to take just a few moments.